Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That is VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. I'm Zachary Cohen, the VSIN.com senior editor, and I am going to get into this Monday night basketball slate for you. It is Monday, November 24th. We are recording at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Let's take away some things from the weekend before we jump into this slate. Really not that eventful of a weekend. Like, I usually have a lot to say on Mondays, but the only things I really wanted to hit on are, you know, the Nuggets go into Houston and beat the Rockets on Friday, a very close game, and a game where they lost Aaron Gordon within 3 minutes to, you know, another serious soft tissue injury, one that he dealt with last year, or, you know, something similar. And, you know, Gordon is now out for 4 to 6 weeks, but it was a convincing, you know, statement victory for Denver to go in there without Christian Braun. And then without Gordon, pretty much, and beat a Houston team that has been very, very good to start this season. I mean, Durant played very poorly for the Rockets, but you kind of make up for it by getting, you know, 27 off the bench from Reed Shepard. But it was just a very impressive win for the Nuggets, and one that kind of solidifies people's takes that this Nuggets team is a legitimate title contender this year. And, you know, maybe the Rockets still have a little bit more work to do the rest of the season, but yeah, that was really the only big results, the one that we saw Friday night. Of course, the Nuggets come back and lose to the Kings in their next game. But, you know, it is a team that is now shorthanded. There are going to be some performances like that. And it was a bit of a letdown performance. So not a huge, you know, worry there for me with Denver. And the other takeaway that I have is a lot of teams in the league are scorching hot right now. But the Lakers on a 4-game winning streak at the moment, they really look like a good bet to win the Pacific Division. I mentioned this on Thursday's podcast last week when I was talking to Jonathan Von Tobel. It was minus 150 when we talked about it then. Only minus 200 now. I mean, that's not the greatest price in the world, but it's one that I am going to officially put in, and I'm going to do it to win 2 units. The Lakers are in first place in the Pacific Division right now. Some of the teams that they are competing with are way, way behind. Like, the Clippers and Kings are not going to be a factor. The Clippers might turn some things around now that Kawhi Leonard's back, but I don't see it being a situation where they come even close to sniffing the division. The only teams to really worry about here are Phoenix and Golden State. And Phoenix is a team that I root for. I'm a Suns fan, but I don't see them, you know, winning 50 games this season. That's where I think that the Lakers are going to end up. And I think that that might be a really modest projection. So I think it's really down to the Warriors or Lakers. And right now the Warriors are 9-9. The Lakers are 12-4. You're talking about a team that's 8 games over 500 and a team that's at 500. Minus 200 just feels like a great price. Even if you lose Luka Doncic for a couple of weeks, like, you've now seen that Austin Reeves can handle the workload as a number one scoring option. You have LeBron James back. Like, I don't know what I'm missing here. Like, minus 200 seems like a very, very good price. So if you are looking to add some futures, I'd say to jump on that one with me. That's really all in terms of the weekend and what I've seen over the last couple of days. So I'm not going to waste any more time. I want to get into this Monday slate. It is a good one. I'm going to skip Jazz, Warriors, Timberwolves, Kings, and Knicks, Nets tonight. A bit of a shame to have to skip a Knicks-Nets game that should be, you know, a crosstown rivalry with some juice. It has had some in the past, but right now New York is the only show in town, and Brooklyn is, you know, maybe they won that game in Boston on Friday. Kind of surprising. I mean, I thought the Celtics would win that game by 20-plus, and the Nets go in there and win outright, but I do not see this game being close, and it's not really a game that I have any takes on. So those three games are skips for me. I've mentioned it before. Maybe I'll have some player props on the website over at VSiN.com. So if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, you will be able to see those picks if I add them. But for now, I want to start with Pistons at Pacers. This game is at 7 p.m. Eastern. This is a game in which the Pistons are pretty heavy favorites. They are laying 10.5 points on the road. The total is 235.5. Pistons got back Jaden Ivey last game. That was one of the, you know, smaller storylines of the weekend. Ivey is a player that I am very excited to see how he looks in Detroit. I think this is now kind of a learning period for us with these Pistons. I mean, this team has won 12 games in a row. They are scorching hot. They are number one in the Eastern Conference. They are an elite defensive team, top two in the league in defensive rating, right behind the Oklahoma City Thunder. And offensively, they've been a little bit better than expected, but this is a team that everyone would agree really needs some help in terms of scoring. You know, Cade Cunningham just has a little bit too much on his shoulders right now, and this team needs a little bit of outside shooting. I mean, they have been bullying teams with Jalen Duren inside. They've been, you know, winning games at their defense, but, you know, adding a little bit more 3-point firepower is definitely something that everyone agrees this team needs. And Ivy can give them a little bit of that. He can also give them a little bit of, you know, off the dribble scoring and a little bit of secondary ball handling. Like, this is a player that should fit in very nicely with this team. He had 10 points in 15 minutes in a blowout win over Milwaukee on Saturday. And now, you know, the next few weeks are going to be all about how much Ivy can give them. Because if Ivy is what this team thought they were getting when they drafted him, this Pistons team is very much a serious, serious contender of the Eastern Conference. You almost don't have to say that about a team that's number one in the conference after this much time. But, you know, I think that there are some people that are skeptical. If Ivy can be a 15 to 20 point scorer and doesn't really hurt the defense, this is a team that can win a series against both the Knicks and the Cavaliers. So a team to be taken seriously. And if Ivy can't give them that, then you're talking about a team that's looking to make a trade. And I mentioned last week on the show, one that I think that's out there that a lot of people are talking about is Lauri Markkanen. This is the team that really makes the most sense for him. But as far as tonight goes, I think that this Pacers team is getting a little too many points again. I've mentioned this a few times on the show. Like, now that Benedict Mathurin is back for Indiana, this team is pretty talented. I mean, at least when you're looking at the rotation, like, they're not as good as last year. Like, that's a fact. I mean, you're missing Tyrese Haliburton, one of the best guards in the league, and you no longer have Miles Turner, a good 3-point shooter, a good shot blocker, but you have 7-8 guys that can really play. You have 7-8 guys that I think could play in a playoff series and not really stick out for the worst. So I think this is a pretty deep team. It's a very well-coached team. And, you know, this is a team that is 11-9 against the spread under Rick Carlisle as home underdogs of 6.5 to 12 points. They have been a little bit more competitive lately, and I do think that +10.5 is a play that people should be looking to take. I do think Duren probably dominates this game on the inside. Indiana's center rotation is a bit of a nightmare, but yeah, this team is covered in back-to-back games. I think that they're going to be a little bit better than people think the rest of the season. The record is awful right now. You're going to get a lot of people fading them on a nightly basis, but I think that that is a good thing for bettors, for smart bettors, because there's going to be opportunities to back them over the next couple of weeks. So the Pacers +10.5 are going to be one of my best bets for tonight. Next game is Cavaliers at Raptors, another 7 p.m. Eastern tip. Cavaliers laying 2.5, totals 235.5. Both of these teams won yesterday, and both of them are playing their third games in four nights. So this is going to be a game where you're really going to want to look at the injury report, especially for the Cavaliers. The Cavs did not play Lonzo Ball yesterday. I would assume he will be out there in tonight's game because he just doesn't play back-to-backs, and they probably held him out, hoping that he'd play for this one. But I don't know what to make of the situations with Jared Allen and Sam Merrill. And this Raptors team has won 7 straight games and 11 of its last 12. I would not feel comfortable laying Cleveland, even if that is my slight lean here. I do think that the Cavaliers, when Garland and Mitchell are both playing, they have a little bit too much firepower for the Raptors. I know that Toronto beat Cleveland earlier in the season, but that, you know, that's another reason that I think the Cleveland would be the right side here. It is a revenge spot. I do think that the Cavaliers are a prideful team, a team that's hungry to kind of show that they should be at the top of the Eastern Conference, and that this early start to the season has just been a little bit fluky. But I'm going to stay away from it. I do also have a lean on Donovan Mitchell over 29.5 points, which you can find at -105. I normally stay away from big point totals with star players. Like, they're just not the way that I look. I see more value in backing like the role player types with lower numbers. But, you know, Donovan Mitchell's averaging 33.4 points per game, even in the games that Garland has played this year. So he really has not been impacted when Cleveland has had another star ball handler out there. And he did have 31 points against Toronto on November 13th, and he scored 30 plus points in 5 of his last 6 games. So I just kind of see more of that tonight. I think the Raptors are a good defensive team. They have a lot of length, but, you know, the guys that will be guarding Mitchell are a bit smaller and not as good defensively as some of the other guys in the lineup. But you're talking about potentially Quickly or some of the, you know, the younger guards on that team. Mitchell should be able to manipulate those guys. He should be able to knock down some threes. He'll get to the basket. So I do think Mitchell has a big game. Next game that I want to talk about is Mavericks at Heat, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Heat are laying 8.5 points. The total is 240.5. Really interesting game because Tyler Hero is coming back for Miami tonight. We have all seen what this Heat team looks like without Hero. They're number one in the NBA in pace of play. Everybody's kind of getting some touches and everyone seems very happy. This Miami team is, you know, playing some really good basketball, coming off a couple of really good wins, especially, you know, Friday night's blowout win in Chicago was very, very impressive. Now you get one of the better scorers in the league back in Tyler Hero and a player that can also make some plays for his teammates. I'm interested in seeing what Hero looks like here. Like, I do think that long-term, this is going to be great for Miami. Like, I think the Hero is a very good teammate, despite what you think about some of the shots he might take. Like, he has improved his shot selection a lot over the last couple of years. This is a guy that can really knock down perimeter shots. He can really shoot off the dribble. He can create for himself. I think Miami needs some more players that can create for themselves. Like, right now, it's been a lot of Norman Powell, and it's been working. And Powell, you know, is probably going to continue to have a great season for the Heat. But, you know, adding some more firepower is never a bad thing, especially when you're talking about an all-star. But I do think that as far as tonight goes, it might take a little bit of time. So I kind of think that the Mavericks might be the right play if you're looking at the spread. I mean, it is 8.5. That's a lot of points, especially when you're talking about a Dallas team that's top five in the league in defensive rating right now. Like, if the Mavericks can kind of impose their physicality and toughness on this Heat team and make this a little bit lower scoring than Miami wants, I do think this is a game that will end up being a little bit closer than people expect. So that's not a play for me. It is a lean. And I will add that, you know, this is a favorable rest spot for Dallas. Miami, like I said, they've been playing a lot lately. Dallas did not play yesterday. That should be a huge aid with the Mavericks, you know, a team that wants to play physical and needs all the energy to do that. The play I do have in this game, though, is Cooper Flagg over 6.5 rebounds at plus 100. Flagg comes into this game after having 7 rebounds in back-to-back games, has also hit that mark at 8 of the last 13, has also just been around the basketball like a ton. He had 11 rebound chances against the Pelicans 2 games ago, 15 against the Grizzlies last game. This is another game where you're talking about Anthony Davis being doubtful for Dallas. Derek Lively is out for the Mavericks as well. They are going to need Flagg to play a bit bigger, and that rebound total seems very, very reasonable to me, especially when you're talking about, you know, the Heat being number one in the league in pace of play. Like, there's just going to be more shot attempts, more possessions, and that should mean more rebound opportunities for a player like Flagg. Attention to any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. Next game is Nuggets at Grizzlies at 8 p.m. Eastern. The Nuggets are 8.5-point favorites. The total is 233.5. No Brown, no Gordon again for Denver. Not something that I'm really worried about for the Nuggets in terms of them actually winning games. Like, I think that having Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, especially this version of Jamal Murray, what we've seen from him this season and even towards the playoffs last year, like, he looks back to being the best version of himself. This should still be a very, very good team that wins a lot of games, but winning by margin is different, and doing that without your two best starters in terms of defense is going to be difficult, especially against, you know, a Grizzlies team that's starting to play a little bit better. Memphis has won back-to-back games. The team is covered in 3 of the last 4, and while Ja Morant is out, you know, some of these other guys are really playing well together, and it does seem like you might get Jaren Jackson Jr. back this evening. Like, he has been upgraded to questionable after missing a couple games, and they have had some really good rest over the last couple weeks. They've played 5 games over their last 2 weeks. Denver's playing 3 games in its last 4. I just think that this is a game where the Grizzlies have fresher legs. I think the Grizzlies are starting to play a little bit better, and I think that Memphis is going to be able to score on this Denver defense that is really shorthanded, and I think 8.5 is just a little bit too much. So Grizzlies plus 8.5, actually a best bet for me. And yeah, hopefully we don't just see Jokic go for like 50 plus in this game. But I do think that Zach Edey, his big body, will at least make things difficult, even if, you know, he doesn't have the, you know, the greatest foot speed in the world. Next game is Trailblazers at Bucks, 8 p.m. Eastern. The Bucks are 1.5-point favorites here. The total is 232.5. This is a game where the Blazers have been dealing with some injuries, so it's making it a little bit tough to know exactly what to do here. Jrue Holiday has been in and out of the lineup for Portland. It is the Portland third game in four nights, a tough rest situation, and I'm just not sure what to make of the side or total here. To be honest, like the Bucks are, they've lost four in a row, both straight up and against the spread. Not the easiest team in the world to trust right now, so it's not like I'm looking to jump on Milwaukee, but just don't trust Portland. If I were to play anything in this game, it'd be going back to Ryan Rollins on points and assists, something I've been taking the last couple of weeks. But the number's all the way up at 29.5 right now. So as good as he has been for Milwaukee, if Jrue Holiday plays in this game, that number's a little bit too high for me. So this is one where I'm going to say to check out VSiN.com. Once the injury reports come out, like if I know that Holiday is playing or not going, like I will potentially add this. So keep an eye out there. But as of right now, this is just a game that I'm looking forward to watching, you know, checking in on, but not something that I have any plays for. Bulls-Pelicans will be a different story. That game tips at 8 p.m. Eastern. Bulls are 5.5-point favorites, and the total is 245.5. I'm going back to Derek Queen, over 4.5 assists in this game at plus 100, and I'm going to be laddering this up to 6 and 7 for smaller prices. I just think that Queen is a really good threat to have, yeah, like 6-7 assists in this game, and I wouldn't be shocked if he has 8+. I'm not going to go all the way up there. It's definitely risky to do that, but, you know, Queen has played 30-plus minutes in three consecutive games. He has been just awesome as a passer. I mean, we've seen the rookie now kind of nudge his way into the rookie of the year conversation. And over the last six games, he's averaging 8.2 potential assists, 6.0 adjusted assists per game. And I'm starting to think that we're going to be seeing totals of like 5.5 for him in the near future. I mean, we saw him have a triple double the other night. This is a player that is just special as a passer. Like, it's not really the type of situation where he's a good big man passer. He's just a good passer in general. But looking at some of the games that we've seen from big men against Chicago over the last, you know, couple of weeks, Alex Saar had 4 assists against them. Bam Adebayo had 5. Victor Wembanyama had 5. Karl Anthony Towns 5. Domantas Sabonis 6. Like, some of these big men hubs that, like, you know, are relied on to run some offense for their teams have been able to spot out cutters, have been able to find shooters, and Queen is a better passer than all of them. So at plus 100 to go over 4.5, that's going to be a bigger play for me. And then I am going to take a little bit of 6 and 7 assists. And I would also lean Pelicans here. Like, if you are really interested in taking a side in this one, taking the 5.5 would be the way that I'd go with this. I mean, Herb Jones is out in this one, joining DeJounte Murray and Jordan Poole, and Kevon Looney is questionable. But I do think that the Pelicans are a team that will be very profitable moving forward. I mentioned that last week. They are now 3-1 against the spread in their last four games. They have zero incentive to lose because they did trade away their pick for next year to get Derek Queen, a trade that is aging a little bit better the more we see Queen play. I won't say it's a good trade because, I mean, the top three players in this next draft are special, special players. And if the Pelicans do finish with one of those top three picks, people are going to clown them anyway. But yeah, it's a team that does not want to lose right now, even though they will not make the playoffs. They do not have a reason to finish in the top five, and the roster is a little bit more talented than the record suggests, and they do have a new coach who is trying to coach for his job and, you know, and remove the interim tag in James Borrego, and I do think he's a good one. So you have that. You have a Bulls team that's just 3-5, both straight up and against the spread on the road. I think the Pelicans are the right side, and I might end up putting them in a parlay or something on an alternate spread, and I could also just take the 5.5 at some point. Like, I will be looking at the way the market's moving and what the public is doing in that game. Last game that I want to talk about, Rockets at Suns. Rockets laying 6.5, totals 224.5. This game is at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. This is the second of the two Peacock games for tonight. It's a big one. I mean, Kevin Durant is sitting this one out. He will miss the next two games for the Rockets with the family matter. Definitely a bit of a bummer not to see Durant's return to Phoenix. I mean, with this being a Peacock game, they've done a really good job of covering all kind of the pregame atmosphere and stuff. It would have been interesting to see what the crowd did with Durant's return. There could have been some booing, who knows, but it still will be a fun game, even with the Suns likely to be missing Mark Williams. Williams played in last night's win over the Spurs, and they do not play him in back-to-back, so I would not be expecting to see the big man out there. But I do think this is a game where Phoenix is the lean for me. I'm not necessarily looking to play it. I don't know that I trust the Suns on the second night of a back-to-back, and they have been playing with their food a lot lately. But I do think that if you're looking for something in this game, +7.5, which is -125 at MGM is where I saw it. That is a really strong play. I mean, just look at the Suns' home numbers this year. Like I keep saying it, 8-2 at the Mortgage Matchup Center, net rating of +11.2 in those games. No KD also is like a huge loss for the Rockets, like not just because of what he's able to do individually as a scorer, you know, in the mid-range and isolation, all of that jazz, but also just because of what he does as a shooter for them. Like this is a team that we've all talked about them being a little light on spacing. Well, losing Durant doesn't necessarily help there, and the Suns have been pretty good defensively this year. They're top 12 in both offensive and defensive ratings, so just a good team on both ends of the floor. So if you're looking for something there, I'd be looking Phoenix +7.5. I'd also be thinking about Dylan Brooks over 19.5 points. He has had 22-plus in four of the last five games, three games of 25-plus in that span. He just has the ultimate green light in this Phoenix offense, and he's shooting well. He's creating well off the dribble, like the mid-range stuff that he's getting himself. He's been knocking those down. He's been doing a little bit better going to the basket than I think that I expected when the Suns got him. And he's also playing his old team tonight. So there's got to be some motivation for him to go out and kill, I mean, against a team that he probably views gave up on him. I know that, you know, it was justified that the Rockets traded for Kevin Durant, but the players in those deals, especially a prideful player like Brooks, they're always going to feel like they shouldn't have made that move. So he's going to go out there looking, you know, to do something to his old team. And I think 19.5 is a pretty reasonable number. And then I will just note, man, it's come a long way with Reed Shepard. I mean, the total right now for him on points up at 17.5. Those days of 10.5 and 11.5 might be gone for us. He had 27 against Denver last game, brought the Rockets all the way back from a big deficit in that one, and Houston had a chance to win pretty much because of his scoring. So this is a player that we've been high on Hardwood Handicappers all year, and it's been fun to kind of see him just go crazy off that Houston bench. And I think it is only a matter of time before we do see him in the starting lineup. Maybe they opt to keep him in the, as a sixth man, but I think it makes a lot of sense to get him in that starting five at some point. It may be in the second half of the season, but just a player that really lifts the ceiling of this team and just kind of opens that window back up after the Van Vliet injury seemingly shut it, or at least really came very close to closing it. Before we recap with some best bets, I just want to say, if you think you know hoops, now's the time to prove it with Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball predictions into real cash. Download the Better app and make your picks more or less on some of your favorite players' points, rebounds, and assists, however you see the game playing out. Track your lineup live, watch the numbers move, and sweat every possession right there in the app. And right now, Better is making it easy to get started. Use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit required. Just sign up, make your picks, and you're right in on the action. Better Picks is live in 33 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. So download Better, that's BETR, and use code VSINPOD to score your free $10. Better Picks, basketball just got better. Must be 18 plus in ineligible states. Terms and conditions apply. So let's recap some of the best bets that I went through on this show. I have four of them right now, but I anticipate having a few more when you head over to VSiN.com as a VSiN Pro. It's $9.99 for your first month, and we are going to have some awesome offers for Black Friday coming up as well. But you will get my picks over there at VSiN.com. I have a player prop article every day. I do a separate article on sides and totals. Always a lot of stuff from me, and then always some great stuff from our guy Steve Mackinnon, our analytics guru at the website, who just does a great job of breaking down some betting trends, some analytics, and just some awesome insights that you really don't want to bet on the night's action without. And then all the Opta AI player prop projections, can't speak enough about those. But yeah, let's recap some of my favorite plays. I have the Pacers +10.5 at -110 against the Pistons. I have Cooper Flagg over 6.5 rebounds at +100 against the Heat. Grizzlies +8.5 at -115 against the Nuggets. Then Derek Queen over 4.5 assists at +100 against the Bulls. I'll have a little bit more than a unit on that play, and then I'll also have much less than a unit, but a little bit of something on Queen to finish with 6 assists and Queen to finish with 7 assists, because I do think this is a guy that's just passing unbelievably well right now, and that's going to be a very high-paced game. A lot of offensive players, a lot of, you know, big box score numbers I think will go around, and I think the Queen will be one of the ones that is most likely to fill up the stat sheet. So those are my four plays for tonight. That is all for the Monday show, but I hope that you come back this week. We are hopefully going to be joined by Kelly Bidlin, co-host of A Numbers Game and former co-host of this podcast and somebody that I love talking about the NBA with. Hopefully that we have him on soon, but make sure you join us for the Tuesday edition of Hardwood Handicappers. Good luck with your best tonight. Hopefully we stay rolling.